reasons is this. Thank you, Jack. All right.
Just a touch different this morning. We'll be singing throughout this time of gathering. Feel free to stand up, clap your hands, greet the people around you, and sing along with us.
Okay. I'm getting there. Jack. Find this little light. Music, not just a... Yeah.
Don't forget to sign and pass your friendship registry this morning so we know you're here. morning, for those of you who keep shuffling in, we're doing a little something different this morning. We're singing as we gather, so I said before, feel free to stand up, greet your neighbors, and sign the registry, but now I'm really going to tell you, y'all need to stand up for this one, because we're going to get excited. Come on.
As soon as I find the music.
This is one that's a little more old school, so I know a lot of you know it. We're going to see the light this morning.
It's in there.
Here.
Okay.
Feel free to clap your hands, too. Announcements. So welcome. I hope you enjoyed our time of singing this morning. Please remember to pass your registry. I don't have any announcements currently, but if there's anybody in the congregation that does have any announcements, I'd like to welcome you to bring them up here at this time. All right, if there's no announcements that anybody knows of, we're going to continue along with our service. We have a call to worship that's next. So I know you just sat down, and I'm sorry, but please stand up for our call to worship. Set your troubled hearts at rest. Trust in God always. Trust also in me. There are many. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I shall come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also, and you know the way I am taking. Jesus replied, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me.
If you love me, you will obey my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another to be your advocate, who will be with you forever, the Spirit of truth.
The world cannot accept him, because the world neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, because he dwells in you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you bereft. I am coming back to get you. In a little while, the world will see me no longer. But you will see me. Because I live, you too will live. Hearts are prepared for worship this morning. We'd like to share some joys and concerns. This congregation is very awesome about praying for each other, and that's one of the things that I love about going to church here. We can pretty much solve anything with the prayers that this church brings through. So if you've had anything this morning, I would invite you to lay it before the Lord.
I just wanted to give an update. I had asked for prayers last week for our friend, their nephew Colin. And I saw an update on Facebook this morning. He is awake. He is alert. He is healing. He is still having some very rough nights. So his mother's specific request for prayer was for peaceful nights because he's very anxious and restless. But he is out of intensive care. He is in a regular room at Hershey Med and hoping to be moved to a rehab hospital soon. So thank you.
It's coming. Just keep talking so we know when it's on. Oh, looks like we need to turn it on.
Try it. Now?
Yeah, yeah, there we are.
Okay, good. Amen.
Good morning.
I have a joy. I have my grandson, Jesse Brubaker, here with me. I like prayer for him as he starts his new adventure in life. May God be with him.
Another update on something we requested prayer for last week. We asked for Rochelle Buckwalter. She was having a double mastectomy for breast cancer. And she's through and home and doing very, very well. Thanks for your prayers.
Looks like the Myers are taking over the prayer concerns this morning. 2 weeks ago, I asked for prayer for a niece who was expecting a baby. They now have that baby stabilized. He's up to 4 pounds, 11 ounces. However, on Tuesday, they're going to put her back in the hospital and induce labor on Wednesday. So I'd like prayer for Sarah and a safe birth for little
Julius.
Julius, of all names, Julius. Thank you.
I just want to say Jean Smith is back home in her apartment, but she's in a wheelchair. She cannot get around well.
We're going to have a prayer response after Pastor Matt prays. So if you want to go ahead and get your hymnals ready, we're going to sing number 352 as a prayer response, and I'll hand the prayer over to him.
All right. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day that you've given us. We thank you, Father, that we can come before you. We can pray with our petitions and our requests. And we know, Father, that you are a listening God, that you are a God that knows and interacts in every prayer that we ask of you. We rejoice, Father, with Colin this morning, and we just want to pray specifically you would give him peaceful nights, you would give him rest at night, and we praise you, Father, for doing so. We think of Rochelle this morning, we think of Patty's nephew, we think of Sarah, and we just continue to ask that you would bless them, you would guide them, you would lead them, you would give a safe birth, and you would continue to lead each of us on the path in which you have called us. Help us, Father, to realize that you are strong enough. No matter what we're facing in our weakness, you are very strong. We thank you, Father, for the good news about Mason, and continue to lift up our young friend Mason and ask that you would continue to bring healing to his eye. We lift up our brother Richard, and we just thank you for the movement in his life as he recovers from heart surgery. We continue to pray for your strength, for your healing touch, and for your movement in his life as he continues to rehab. We think of Kelly, and we think of Jean, and we think of Mary, we think of Lisa this morning, and we think of Charlene's father, and we know, Father, specifically what's happening in their lives, but Father, we know that you are at work, you're doing an incredible thing in their lives, and we just pray, Father, that you would continue to heal them, continue to bring blessings to their lives, and just each day give them newness and allow them to know you in a powerful way. We know, Father, in the midst of our sorrow, in the midst of our pain, in the midst of our troubles, that you are very present. You help us, you guide us through those troubles. So we just take care this morning to recognize that on our own, we can't get through this life. But with you as our strength, with you as our hope, we can travel through this life together, hand in hand, as a family of God. So we just thank you, Father, for who you are in the midst of every pain and every trial we face. We rejoice this morning that we can be here safely in this place to worship you alone, our Heavenly Father, our one and true God. And we just pray, Father, that as we continue to worship you, that we would make your name known in our daily lives, that as we walk the streets, as we go to grocery stores, as we go to work, that we would make your name known through the stories that we have in our own lives, through the testimony that we have of your goodness. So we just thank you, Father, for forgiveness. We thank you for setting us free. And we just come before you this morning and we just give you honor. We give you glory. And we just say, you are our God and we trust you and we believe in you and we have faith. You will continue to move in our midst. Help us, Lord, to know that you are present, that you are with us by giving us the ability to do things that on our own we'd never be able to do. So help us, Father, to spread your good news and help us to live this life that is a life worthy of your calling. And it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Gentle shepherd, come.
everybody that has VBS commitments this year to come on up to the front. We're going to do our, no, we're not, next, well, next week we're going to do our VBS commitments then. All right, well then, if we're going to do our VBS commitments next week, we're going to start with an offertoring thought at this time. I was scrolling through Facebook this week, as I'm sure many of us were, and this post came up that I especially like, and I share it every time. It says, "My house is a safe zone. Coffee, tea, on in minutes. If you prefer a glass of water, easily done. My sofa is a place of peace and non-judgment, and somewhere for you to stay if you need. Anyone who needs to chat is welcome at any time. We can talk, share a laugh or two, or just listen. It's no good suffering in silence. We have food to eat, we can cry, we can go for a walk, and I will always do my best to be available. You are always welcome. This is an old value that has been lost to technology. A text, a FaceTime, or an emoji, it's nowhere near the same as this face-to-face communication and offering of a house that's open to us." And it just really made me think about our scripture this week, that Jesus is going to prepare this for us in God's house. And God's house will have a sofa that we can always sit on, and God's house will have a shoulder we can always cry on. And just like this post that goes around on Facebook, I think we need to be those kind of people who exclaim this all over the place, but especially help with our offerings so that we can bring other people to know that, so that we can reach out into our community and let other people know that God's couch is always open. So as you dedicate your offerings this morning, I'd ask you to think about those that they're helping and send up a little prayer to let everyone know that God's couch is welcome. So will you pray with me? Dear Lord, giver of all gifts, we are grateful for your every blessing and for your presence through all of our life. In our joys, in our fears, in our deepest hopes and dreads, we pray for those who do not know the consolation of your presence in their lives, asking that you reveal yourself to them through the gifts that we have given today, and through the lives that we live outside this church. Reveal yourself, God, so that all of your children may find their true home in your kingdom. Amen. The ushers, please come forward.
Where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness. righteousness. Oh God, how I need you.
Invite the children to come forward for this morning's children's moment. And as you're making your way forward this morning, I want you to think about what's the most awesome thing going on in your life this summer? What's the coolest thing that you guys can tell me? Good morning, good morning. So what's something cool happening in your life? Something really awesome. I know you told me out in the hallway you got your Bible and you opened your Bible and you were reading it. That's pretty awesome. Anything else awesome happening in your life? Anything cool? Not much. You having a good summer, though? Have any of you been to the pool yet? Or the pond? The pool? Yeah, you've been to the pool? What about, have any of you had ice cream yet this summer? Do you have a favorite flavor of ice cream? What's your favorite flavor of ice cream? Cookies and cream. Cookies and cream. Shane, that's yours, too. What's your favorite flavor of ice cream? Strawberry? Do you have a favorite flavor of ice cream?
Chocolate.
Chocolate? Oh, good choice. Go ahead. What's your guys' favorite? Cookies and cream. We got a lot of cookies and cream fans. Which one? Which one? Chocolate. Okay. Chocolate peanut butter. Any chocolate peanut butter fans in the congregation today? That's my favorite. So things in our lives can get really exciting, but have you ever had times in your life where you got a little nervous? You got a little anxious? You were kind of a little stressed out? Yeah? You've ever had a time like that? Do you remember when that was? What was going on? What was happening that you were kind of worried, that you were stressed? Maybe you weren't feeling the happiest in that moment. Can you think of a time? Maybe it was a test at school. Yeah, you guys get test anxiety? Yeah, I used to have that as well. Well, another thing in our lives that can cause stress is moving. Have any of you had to move from one house to another? Yeah, do you remember how stressful that time was? So moving from one place to another, there's kind of a little uncertainty. There's kind of a little bit of worry. Am I going to find new friends? Am I going to like the house we move into? Am I going to like the neighborhood? Well, do you know, even if you never move in this entire life, you're going to move one day? Go ahead and say, what? You are going to move one day. You are going to move from this life to the next life. So if you've never moved before, and maybe you go your whole life with never moving, you're going to move from one place to another place. But guess who's preparing that place for us?
Jesus,
right? In our scripture we're about to hear this morning, you're going to hear words from Jesus himself saying, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Not only is he going to prepare a place for you, guess what he's going to do? Do you think he's just going to stay in that place, or do you think he's going to come back for us? He's going to come back and take us with him to where he is. You thought you guys were having a cool summer? That's going to be a cool day when the Lord comes back and takes us to where he is. Do you know where that place is? It's the place to be. Heaven. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, just thank you for these dear children. Thank you that even though we may never move in this life, we will move from this place to our eternal place. And we are so thankful, Lord, that you are going there to prepare a place for us. And you're coming back to take us with you. How exciting that is as believers, as followers, as disciples, as those who know and trust you with their lives, that one day we will move to that place to be called heaven. So thank you for these children. Bless them. Let them have an awesome summer. Let them enjoy fellowship with you and with each other. And we just thank you. They're part of our congregation. And bless their families. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys.
Our scripture this morning is going to be from John. It's from chapter 14, and it's going to be verses 1 through 7. So there's a Bible in your pews for any of you who aren't familiar with us. And if you'd like to turn there, feel free to grab that. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him.
Surrounded by your glory, what will
Would you pray with me? Father, we only can imagine, but we know what your scripture, what your word teaches us about this place to be, this place called heaven. And I pray, Father, in these next few moments that you would open our eyes to see the mystery that is before us, a mystery that you have made known of what will happen to us when we pass from this life. We know, Father, that we trust you. We know, Father, that we believe in you. We know, Father, that you have incredible, wonderful things in store for each of us. But, Father, we confess there are times we question. We confess, Father, there are times we wonder, and we do imagine, and we pray that those imaginations can come to reality. And we know one day they shall. We know that one day that place to be called heaven, we shall be. But we remain here and we consider our lives. They're just a vapor. And we know, Father, that we have things about us that should reflect who you are within us. And we pray those things about us would overshadow those things that keep us from following you wholeheartedly. So, Father, be glorified and allow your word to speak to us this morning is what we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Friends, we know that every great plot has an interrelated sequence. So to set up our scripture this morning where Jesus has just said, "Don't let your hearts be troubled," we have read in the previous chapter that Jesus has just washed the disciples' feet. There was an evening meal being prepared. The disciples were a bit confused in the moment. They didn't quite understand. As Jesus bent and kneeled to wash their feet, some even said to him, "Why my feet, Lord? Why not wash my entire body?" And so that the Lord said to that disciple, "It is only your feet that need to be washed." He's been betrayed. Someone who dips the bread into the cup with him will be that betrayer. And he tells that betrayer, "Go and do what you need to do quickly." Confused, the disciples are wondering, what does this all mean? What is about to happen? And he goes on and he says, "I'll only be with you for a little while longer." And he says, "Where I am going, you cannot go." Love one another becomes the new command. And friends, it is necessary then, as it is now, to know that we are God's disciples by the way we love. Then, as the plot unfolds, the next sequence, Peter starts asking questions, and Jesus replies, "Where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." Peter, you and I are probably having a difficult time with this. And Jesus is told by Peter he would go all the way, even to death. He would lay down his life for him. And Jesus looks at him and tells him, "You will deny me three times before the rooster even crows." It's no wonder Jesus says in our scripture in John 14:1, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." I can imagine the disciples singing a song I heard in my teen years. "I don't ever want to feel like I did that day. Take me to the place I love. Take me all the way." Friends, the place Jesus is talking about is the place I pray we love, and it's the place we long to be, the place called heaven. And he's telling us in verse 2, "My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you?" Friends, there's peace. Friends, there's blessings. Friends, there's assurance in this verse. Jesus will not abandon us. Jesus will not leave us behind. As a matter of fact, he goes on in verse 3 and he says, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you also may be where I am." Friends, this is good news. This is a promise. Jesus one day will return. He's not only coming back, but he is taking us with him to where he is. If you've ever searched Scripture and you've been looking for blessings, you have just found three. He is preparing a place. He is coming back, and he's taking us with him. Can I get an amen? Can I get a hallelujah? Friends, this is what joy is made of. This is what keeps us going every single day, no matter what we face. We need to realize this place is not our home. As believers, we're merely strangers and aliens walking through. This is not where we belong. Jesus himself is taking us to the place to be one day. That's something to get excited about, church. We have a glorious future with our Lord. Amen? The trouble, the sorrow, the pain, the grief, whatever we face in this life, it's a freight train. It's only passing by. But friends, know this, those troubles, those moments where we wonder where God is, where our strength is fading, we know that God is building character. He is lifting us up. He is helping us to trust him, to surrender. All these moments in our lives filled with affliction point us toward Christ. For we know that Christ suffered far more than any of us could ever imagine. They're worth the wait for the coming of our Lord one day. And Jesus goes on and he says in verses 4-7, "You know the way to the place where I am going." And Thomas said, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Friends, these are basic instructions before leaving earth. They're spelled out right here for us. We don't have to guess. We don't have to wonder. We don't even have to question. Jesus explicitly tells us the way to where he is. Underline this, highlight this in your Bible. Jesus is very clear. "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He's not being selfish by saying this, nor the fact that no one comes to the Father except through him. He is making it possible. We rejoice, dear friends, that there is a way to the place to be called heaven. Friends, be not mistaken what Jesus has said. It's within us as disciples of Christ to live this life loving God and loving others. It's plain as day who fits this bill. We can't fool anyone. We only fool ourselves. So this morning, maybe you need to take a trip down memory lane. Remember where you came from. Remember where you are. Remember that time that you were lost, that you were wandering, that you didn't know the truth, a time where you didn't know God's forgiveness, his love, and his acceptance. You were far from knowing you had value. You didn't understand in those moments the complete and the total blessing over your lives that God had in store. But friends, let's not minimize the fact that we each once were lost. But those who trust and those who believe in Jesus are found. They are saved by grace through faith. And the good news this morning is we are no longer slaves to sin. We are indeed free in Christ. Our chains are gone. They've been broken.
There's new life in Christ. Friends, God has blessed us with salvation. And when this life is over, we'll take that first breath in heaven. That's where I long to be one day. That's why each day I survey my life. That's why I carry my cross. That's why I lay down my burdens and surrender to Christ. How about you? It can't ever be about me. It can't ever be about us. God is always at work through the Holy Spirit. We can't always see it because we have our own way. We have our own thinking. We've settled in our mind. We've got this right. But friends, God doesn't move like that. You see, friends, God has his own plans for us, for the church. And today, I believe his plan for each of us is to know that he has given us a way to spend eternity with him. God is saying, repent. He is saying, confess. He is saying, turn from your sins and return to me. Friends, this isn't a one-time deal. You don't go to an altar. You don't just say a prayer and you think you're good. It's day in. It's day out, returning to him as we fall. And friends, we will fall. But God knows that his grace is sufficient for us. Amen? You're awake this morning. He also knows we can't ever be good enough. He also knows we can't ever do enough. And friends, that's why he continues to tell us, I am enough. I am all you need. He's saying, choose me, love me, follow me, and I will lead every day of your life. But oh, how we complicate things. White is not always white. Black is not always black. There's always got to be this color gray. But Jesus made it so simple. I can't fathom why there would be confusion. He's gone to prepare a place. He's coming back and he's taking us to where he is. We know that that way is through him. He tells us so. But maybe we humans can't accept the fact that there's only one way. Maybe Matt Chandler, a pastor, has it right when he says this. Heaven is not a place for those who are afraid of hell. It's a place for those who love God. You can scare people into coming to your church. You can scare people into trying to be good. You can scare people into giving money. You can even scare them into walking down an aisle and praying a prayer. But you cannot scare people into loving God. You just can't. Do it. Choosing one thing over another doesn't necessarily mean we love the thing we choose. If given the opportunity, the choice to eat spinach or to eat broccoli, you may very well choose broccoli. It may only mean you do not want to eat spinach. You see, heaven is not for people who just want to skip hell. Heaven is reserved for those who love Jesus, who have been rescued by him, and for those who long to praise him. In this life, if someone doesn't have much use for praising him now, it's foolish to think they're ready for heaven. Friends, within the Christian faith, there's a lot of confusion about what happens after we die. Some think that after death, everyone sleeps until the final judgment, and then everyone is sent to heaven or hell. Others believe that at the moment of death, people are instantly judged and sent to their eternal destiny. Still others claim that when people die, their souls, their spirits are sent to a temporary heaven or hell to await the final resurrection, the final judgment, and the finality of their eternal destiny. But friends, this morning, what does the Bible say happens after death? It's going to get deep. It's going to be very tempting to yawn. But these are important words from Scripture. For the believer in Jesus, after death, the soul and the spirit are taken to heaven because their sins are forgiven by having received Christ as Savior. John 3:16, 18, and 36. If you want any of these verses, ask me at the end of the service. I'll give them to you. For believers, death is to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:6 to 8, Philippians 1:23 detail this. However, it gets complicated. Passages such as 1 Corinthians 15:50 to 54 and 1 Thessalonians 4:13 to 17 describe believers being resurrected and given glorified bodies. If believers go to be with Christ immediately after death, what is the purpose of the resurrection just mentioned? It seems that while the soul and the spirit of believers go to be with Christ immediately after death, the physical body remains in the grave sleeping. Scholars say at the resurrection of believers, the physical body is then resurrected. It is glorified and it is reunited with the soul and spirit. Revelations 21 and 22, this reunited and glorified body, soul, and spirit will be the possession of believers for eternity in the new heavens and new earth. We'll talk about in coming weeks. I couldn't really come up with an illustration, but this is what came to me. I want you to think of it like popcorn. Does anyone like popcorn here? Popcorn begins as a kernel in the bag. It's not until that kernel is placed into a microwave or placed into some type of hot situation that it begins to pop. So at the resurrection, like that popped popcorn, we as a kernel in the grave become popped into our new bodies glorified. But you know, not everyone chooses to receive Christ as their Savior. So death for them does mean everlasting punishment. Scholars believe, similar to the destiny of believers, unbelievers seem to be sent immediately to a temporary holding place to await their final resurrection, judgment, and eternal destiny. Luke 16, 22 and 23, you might remember the story of the rich man. He was being tormented immediately after death. Revelation 20, 11, 15 describes all the unbelieving dead being resurrected, judged at the great white throne, and then being cast into the lake of fire. So in essence, what we're hearing here is those who choose not to believe are not sent immediately to hell after death, but rather are in a temporary realm of judgment and condemnation. Even still, their immediate fate after death is not a pleasant one. You remember in Luke 16, 24, the rich man cried out. And what did he say? He said, I am in agony in this fire. Friends, what is important to understand today is a person's eternal destiny will not change. Only the location changes. We just heard that believers ultimately enter the new heaven and new earth. And unbelievers ultimately are sent to the lake of fire. Friends, the reality is an all-inclusive destiny for all people based on what they choose to believe in this life. My prayer today, my prayer every single day, is that we choose Jesus. Friends, Jesus has made a way. Friends, Jesus has given us the place to be. Heaven awaits, and there's no greater time than the present to look at your life and to get right with God and turn to Him. The altar is going to be open during this final song. There may be someone in the prayer room, but take time in this very moment to look at your life, and if you were in a courtroom, would you be convicted of being a believer? We know that our God is mighty to save, and Billy Graham said it best. Even when we allow our imaginations to run wild on the joys of heaven, we find that our minds are incapable of conceiving what it will be like. Would you pray with me? Father, we praise you. We thank you. We are so overwhelmed with joy this morning that you have given us a way. And we know, Father, that that way is through you, the Lord of our lives, the one who has died for each of us. But Father, ultimately you have given us a choice. We have free will to decide whether we will believe in you, whether we will trust in you, whether we will live for you. And Father, some have walked away. Some have decided this Jesus isn't for me. But maybe this morning he's been working on our heartstrings. He's been tugging at them and he's been saying, son, daughter, return to me. I know that you've walked a path that hasn't been righteous, but my arms are open. I long to love you. I long to give you peace. I long to set you free. But we, the children of God, his people, are given that choice. So as we sing this final song, may God stir our hearts. May we consider, may we wonder at our lives, and may we be convicted whether or not we are true disciples, whether or not we are following the risen Savior. For we know that we are one body in Christ. And together, God has incredible things in store for us. And we pray that we choose this day to believe and to live for your Son, Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.
We're going to do another response with hymn 259, if you'd like to get out your hymnals. Please stand if you are able.
When I survey the
my richest gift.
Lord, we are just so overwhelmed by your presence right now. We know, Father, your Spirit has been at work, and we may not have made that decision to return to you in this very moment, but you will continue to work in our hearts throughout this week. And I pray, Lord, in the powerful name of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we would be moved to remove ourselves from the equation, that we would be moved to put you first, that everything we do would be about you, that we would have no selfish ways. It wouldn't be about me, it wouldn't be about us, but it would be about what you are doing in our midst. We surrender to you, Lord. We know that you have great things in store. And we just ask you, Father, to let us be obedient, to let us listen and to hear your small, still voice that is still speaking in the world today. There are too many broken, too many lost, that we worry about what we want to do. For Father, we want to do what you want us to do. So help us, God. Lead us, direct us, guide us to where you want us to be. And we look forward to that day, to be in that place, to be heaven. Let us live like heavenly people here on this earth. May your kingdom come. Amen.